Good morning. Here we are, a new year. The board has given me the privilege to preach to you every second month. That is six for this year. And so I decided the first four Sabbaths I would like to study with you the most important truth in the Bible, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So the first sermon, which is today, will be how the cross of Christ exposed Satan as the murderer of our Savior. And then the next sermon, which is in April the 6th, I want to share with you the ultimate revelation of God's grace, the supreme sacrifice of Christ. Then we go to June 1st, and I would like to share with you the power of the cross. It is not that piece of wood. It is the truth that took place at Calvary. And then August 24 will be the resurrection. That leaves me two more studies. And I decided that I will deal with two of our unique Adventist doctrines that have come under fire. First from without, and now more recently from within, the investigative judgment in the light of the gospel, which is actually good news. And then, that is on October 5 and December 7, the Sabbath rest. So today we will start with Satan exposed at the cross. Now, some of you will say to me, didn't you cover these studies some time back? Yes, about 2 years ago. And I'm not doing this out of simply giving you a repetition. Folks, the study of the cross needs to be covered many, many times. You know, when I was pastoring in Capitol Memorial Church in D.C., Elder Ron Flowers, who was the chairman of the family life at the GC, said to me, thank you for covering this topic every year. Because you see, this is the study that strengthens our faith, keeps our faith alive. That is why Jesus introduced the Lord's Supper. Every time we use those two emblems, we are reminded of what Christ did to us on the cross so that we may have faith until He comes. We also need to know how Satan was exposed at the cross. Why? Because how the truth character of Satan was exposed at the cross of Christ. You see, folks, the Bible tells us that at the end of time, Satan will come to us as an angel of light to deceive, if possible, the very elect. So we need to know his true character because he's a good, good politician. You know, he comes to us with all kinds of promises, all kinds of hopes, but he's a liar and the father of lies. So with this in mind, let's go to our study. The great controversy between Christ and Satan began in heaven when Lucifer, the highest created being, rebelled against God and became Satan. Please turn your Bibles to Ezekiel 28 and see what this Old Testament prophet has to say about Lucifer. Ezekiel chapter 28. And they're going to read a couple of verses, 14 and 15. You got it? Here it is. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I, that is God, established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. But now look at verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. Now that word iniquity in Hebrew means bent, and spiritually bent towards self. The crook of a shepherd's rod was called iniquity, but here is referring to a spiritual condition. What was that spiritual bent that took place in Lucifer? His iniquity bent to self was to overthrow God and take his place in the universe. Now we go to Isaiah chapter 14 and see what the prophet, the gospel prophet of the Old Testament, has to say about this enemy of God. Chapter 14 of Isaiah. One is English, one is American. You can choose. Let's start with verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nation. That is the human family. For you have said in your heart. Now please notice where he said it. Not publicly. He said it in his heart. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Here is Christ, the Creator, giving the highest position, and now he wants to turn against his own Creator. Having deceived one third of the angels or angelic host, Satan waged war against Christ, his Creator. John 1:3 says that everything that was created by Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God. He spoke. So this is what happened there in heaven. And we'll see now, however, Christ and his angels in this war were victorious, and Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven. Now Revelation 12:7 says that he was cast to this earth. Well, let me explain, because the Old Testament has problems. God assumes the blame for everything that has happened. Satan saw this brand new earth with only two people, our fathers and mothers, and decided to take this world captive. God did not stop him. Now you may ask, why not? He would have saved this world from all the headaches we've gone through. Well, God always has a reason. And he will explain that. I know the reason will take place on the Day of Atonement, but God allowed Satan to come to this world, and he was able to deceive Eve, deceiving Adam, and having been expelled from heaven, Satan decided to deceive Adam and Eve and take over this brand new earth and make it his domain. Unfortunately, in this, he was successful. Now, you may say, if I was in Adam's place, I would not have done it. Well, he blamed Eve. And Eve blamed the serpent. So, since then, we are always blaming somebody else. You know, sometimes we say, the devil made me do it. No, folks, we have a nature that is bent, that is a slave to sin. But now look at Luke 4. This is the second temptation of Christ in the wilderness. And listen what Satan did here. Chapter 4 of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, verse 4 and 5. Now let's look at verse 5 and 6. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, don't ask me how he did it. It's much easier for us today to understand it. We are living in the computer age, you know. But what Satan showed him is all the nations of the world, which includes America and every other country. And listen what the devil says to Jesus. And the devil said to him, all this authority or rulership I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Because then he said to Christ, all you have to do is bow down and worship me. Because you know Christ did not do that. But Christ did not challenge Satan for claiming to be the ruler of this world. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, Satan became the prince or ruler of this world. In John 14 verse 30, Jesus said to the people, Satan has come and can find nothing. He called Satan the prince or the ruler of this world. And in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, and I would like to read that, Paul refers to Satan as the god of this age. The reason I want you to read that is to show you what he's up to. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 3 and 4. Listen to this. But even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, that is Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And that is what Satan does. He does that to the world, tries to blind them. He tries to deceive us so that he can pull us out of Christ. That's his, but he's called the god or the ruler of this world. Okay, now, thus the great controversy between Christ and Satan was transferred from heaven to this earth at the fall. So this is the battleground. And whether we know it or not, every human being is involved in this great controversy. Some unconsciously, but they are still involved. Please turn to 1 John chapter 5 and look at how John describes the human race. He divides us into two camps. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. John, addressing Christians, say, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So either we are under the banner of Christ or we are under the banner of Satan. None of us are free agents spiritually. That is the situation. So every one of us is involved in this great controversy. Now, with this in mind, we are going to look at the beginning of Satan's downfall. Satan's true character first began to be exposed when Christ, his arch enemy, who defeated him in heaven, came to this world to be savior of mankind. And you know, he came as a babe in the manger. Okay, now, Satan's attempt on the life of Christ. We're going to look at several attempts. The first one is found in Matthew 2, verse 1 to 18. The babes in Bethlehem. Why would Herod send a whole army against babies? Because Satan was behind that. He knew that that baby was not an ordinary baby. He knew that babe in Bethlehem was the savior of the world. He knew he was his great enemy. And he wanted to make sure, right at the very beginning of his earthly mission, he would destroy him. So that's why he sent his army. You know, and there was much crying. Did he succeed? No, we'll see why in a moment. Okay, the second is in Luke 4, 8 to 11, where Satan takes him to the high tower and ask him to jump. Now, what do you think would be the motive of somebody who took you to a high tower and say, jump, God will protect you? I once asked this to some elementary kids when I was taking a week of prayer at an elementary school in Washington, D.C. And one bright kid said, you will see strawberry jam on the ground. The imagination of kids. His purpose was to get rid of Christ. But of course, he also failed at this moment. Then the third, John chapter 10 verse 31, where Jesus said in verse 29, I and my Father are one. And in verse 31, listen to what we read in the Gospel of John chapter 10. And notice what happens here. John chapter 10. And verse 31, well, I read verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than I. And then in verse 30, I and my Father are one. Now verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again. Please notice, it's not the first time, to stone him. Who was behind that? Well, the Jews thought they were obeying the law of God because they accused him of blasphemy. But behind that was Satan, who tried to destroy him. In all these attempts, Satan failed. Here is the reason, and you need to know the reason. So we're going to look at the two texts on the screen. John chapter 7 and verse 30 is one text. John 7, and let's look at what verse 30 says. In verse 29, Jesus says, I know God, I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me, which to the Jews was blasphemy. Verse 30, therefore they sought to take him, that is to kill him, but no one laid a hand on him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. You see, folks, God is sovereign. He is in control. Nothing can happen to you or to me if he says no. Go to verse chapter 8, verse 20. Same book, John 8, 20. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no one laid hands on him, for his hour has not yet come. You know, the church is the body of Christ. Do you know that nothing can happen to you if God says no? You know, Jean and I entered our mission service in Africa in 1965. And we had dedicated our life to Africa, the rest of our life. But in 1972, we were deported by Idi Amin. We lost everything. He left. We had to leave everything behind. Even our bank account was frozen. And then the OAU, that is the Organization of African Unity, made this announcement. They passed a legal law that anyone deported by Idi Amin could never again ever touch foot at any country in Africa. And that was devastating to us. And we would ask God, why? But we realized that God had a purpose. And if we look back now, he did have a purpose. By the way, we did go back to Africa and serve there for 10 more years. So the law that was passed did not affect our position. You know, two Sabbaths ago, Jean and I were conducting a meeting at the Orlando Filipino Church. And you may say, whoa, wasn't that nice and warm? No, it was cloudy. It wasn't as cold as here, but it was cloudy and drizzly, except for one day. We had said something. And that Sabbath afternoon, our son Chris called us to inform us this terrible, shocking news that our good friend, Cliff Van Kurtu, had a horrible accident and he passed away. And my first human reaction is, why God? Here are two couple who were serving you in prison ministry. They were loyal. Then I had to remind myself, nothing happens without God's consent. We may not understand. We may ask, why do bad things happen to good people? And sometimes God doesn't answer us until we go to heaven, where he will spend 1,000 years explaining why bad things happen to God's people, all through the history of the Christian church and even in the Old Testament. So we have to put our trust in God. That is part of grace, because nothing happens without his consent. The Holocaust in Germany, the genocide in Rwanda, you know, when Christians killed Christians, one day God will explain. But until then, we live by faith. Now, here's about Satan's downfall. The only way God could expose Satan's true character, because remember, this was in his heart. He wanted the place of God in his heart. Nobody can read the hearts of people except God. So in order for God to expose Satan's true character, he removed his protection from his son, Jesus Christ. This he did at Gethsemane. Please turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Jesus is in Gethsemane with his disciples. He's pleading with the Father, drops of blood coming down his brow. And in verse 53, when this angry mob takes him captive, this is what he says to them. Luke 22, verse 53. When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. And you know why? His hour had not yet come. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Who's the power of darkness? Satan. God removed his protection from his son. Why? It was the only way he could expose what was in the heart of Satan right from the beginning. This made it possible for Satan's hidden desire from the beginning of his rebellion to be exposed at the cross once and for all. Please, I want you to look at John 8. This is what Mansell read to us from the NIV. I would like to read it from the New King James. First of all, I want you to note that Jesus is talking to the Jews. Who were these Jews? These Pharisees, these leaders, these Jews. They claim to be God's covenant people. They claim to be God's chosen people. And listen to what Jesus says to them. Verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, what did Jesus mean? He was a murderer from the beginning. Well, you must keep in mind that to God, murder does not begin with an act. Satan murdered nobody in heaven. It's a desire that you cherish in your heart, even though you may not commit the act. You know, this is a problem with many of us and the Jews. They thought sin was an act. And Jesus said, if you hate somebody, if you're angry with somebody in your heart, even though you don't commit the murder, you have already committed murder in God's eyes, in the eyes of his law. It's the same with adultery. If you look at a woman to lust, even though you don't commit the act. And when you realize this, folks, you will say, who can be saved? And Christ will say, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So please remember that it is possible to belong to God's church. It's possible to belong to God's remnant and yet have Satan as our father. The fact that you belong to the right church does not mean that you are controlled by God. That is why it's important for us to know. If Jesus said this to the Jews, he can say it to us too. So be careful that your outward appearance is not a lie. Okay, let's go on. See what happened. Once Christ was in the hands of Satan, because God had removed his protection, he, that is Satan, chose for him the most shameful and the most painful death man had ever invented, the cross, which we'll cover in detail in my next study in April 6th. Now, the cross was invented about 500 to 600 years before Christ by the Phoenicians, which is today's Lebanon. You see, the Phoenicians believed the earth was God. One of their gods was the earth. So they did not want to desecrate the earth by executing their criminals. So they invented the cross. Then the Egyptians borrowed this idea from the Romans. They refined it and used to crucify only two kinds of people. Runaway slaves, because 40 to 60% of the Roman Empire were slaves, and if they ran away from their master, they were crucified. And they were mainly political criminals. And Christ was neither of those two. So the question is, why did the Jews cry out, crucify him? Well, that's for the next study, okay? But that's what the Jews cried in John 19, verse 6. Crucify him, crucify him. Okay, now, Christ was willing to endure it all, not only to expose Satan as his murderer, There was another reason. But also to save humanity from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has, past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law. Not by nailing the law on the cross, but by becoming a curse for us. And we'll deal with that in very much detail, the ultimate revelation of grace, my next study. Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy that was set before him, the joy of seeing you and me in heaven. Christ endured the cross, despising the shame. That's how much he loved us. That is what grace is all about. Not because of something we have done. In fact, what we have done is rebelled against God. But because God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. That's the good news of the gospel. At the cross, Satan was exposed as the murderer of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. What was hidden in his heart from the beginning was now exposed at the cross. And Satan used the Jews. He used the Romans. But above all, he used those whose nature was controlled by the devil. And they cried out, crucify him. Behind all that was Satan. All sympathy for Satan from the unfallen angels and the world was gone. And the same thing must happen with us. Please turn to John chapter 12. Listen to what happened at the cross. John chapter 12. We'll start with verse 31. Now is the judgment, and that word in the Greek is execution. Now is the execution of this world. Do you know we were executed in the humanity of Christ? He bore us, he bore our sins, so that he may set us free. So what Christ is saying, this is in red, now is the execution of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Folks, since the cross, Satan is no longer the rightful ruler of this world. He's been cast out. Christ is the ruler. Well, you say, why then did not Christ dispose Satan? Well, he doesn't tell us. He'll tell us in heaven. But I believe because that would produce fear. And fear does not belong to God's love. Perfect love casts out fear, even of the judgment. But now look at verse 32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw, not some, all people. The word people is supplied. The actual word is all to myself. Folks, the cross has a drawing power. That's why Ellen G. White tells us, of all professing Christians, Seventh-day Adventists must be foremost, number one, in lifting up Christ as the Savior of the world. She even goes on to say that from Genesis to Revelation, all our studies, all our presentation must come from the light that streams from Calvary. That is our goal, folks. That is our mission. And then verse 33 explains what Jesus meant by the word now. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. And that's the cross. Folks, the world desperately needs to hear this gospel. You know, I received a big parcel 3 or 4 weeks ago from a friend of ours. He's a retired architect from Arizona. He's now retired, so he's published a book trying to convince not so much Christians, but that includes them, but mainly the unbelievers, why the gospel is the best news of the world. And his job is fantastic. And I'm really pleased what he wrote. He's a layman, but he has understood the gospel, the love of God, and the truth as it is in Christ. And he's trying to convince the agnostics, the atheists, the unbelievers, that yeah, their only hope is in Jesus Christ and him crucified. So I'm going to ask him to have it published, not by our presses, but by Zondervan, because that will go to all the Christian bookstores. I don't know if they will do it because he dealt with some things that the other Christians do not believe in. Secret rapture, immortality of the soul, hellfire and so on. Anyway, all who accept Christ as their personal Savior also become Satan's enemies. Please turn to Revelation 12. And that enmity will increase as we approach the end. Revelation chapter 12. And please notice verse 10 and 11. Revelation 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now, referring to the cross, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, that is Satan, who accuses them, that is us, before our God day and night, has been cast down. Folks, that is our problem. But look at verse 11. And they, that is the believers, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The cross is our weapon, and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. You know, in the first three centuries, Christians were killed in all kinds of ways. Terrible, and they were all willing to go to their death. You know, one of the great bishops of North Africa was Polycarp. He was over 80 years old when he was brought to the arena to be burnt or to be killed by the lion. And Nero looked at him and, you know, Nero the emperor, and felt sorry for this old man. And he called him to him and said, look, if you accuse Christians of being atheist, I will spare your life. Because you see, the Christians were accused of being atheists because they rejected the emperor as their God. And Polycarp just nodded his head, and then he went right in the middle of the arena and he looked at Nero and said, yes, Nero wants me to accuse the Christians of being atheists because they don't worship him. But let me tell you, he is the atheist. He is the one that has no right to be God. And Nero was so mad. Burn him slowly. And as Nero was being burnt, he was singing hymns because he knew that was not the end of him. Folks, we need to get to that condition because the time of trouble is coming soon where our faith, not our performance or our goodness, our faith will be tested to the very limit. For Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That's why these studies are important. Okay, now, we are going to apply all these facts to our own experience. Number one, if the world under Satan hates us, Christians, it is because he hated Christ first. And that's what Jesus said to his disciples in John 15:8. If the world hates you, it's because they first hated me. So don't be surprised. Now you say, but the world doesn't hate us. Yes, you know why? Because they do not see Christ in us. The moment we reflect the love of God, the unconditional, self-emptying love of God, the moment we reflect Christ in us, the hope of glory, the world will turn against us. Now, number two, application. If your hour has not yet come, Satan or his angels cannot touch you because God is sovereign. And these are the two texts we dealt with before. You know, I can talk from experience. I only gave you one example. But men, Idi Amin soldiers tried to kill me more than once. When we were sent to Ethiopia, and 1 year later was communism, and we were losing a lot of Christians, including our own people. I wrote a book against Marxism. You dare not write a book against communism in a communist country. And many of my friends said, you are risking your life. Folks, Christians never risk their lives. We had the book translated in the language of Ethiopia, Amharic, and we flooded the country. And I didn't use the Bible. I used Karl Marx's own arguments and proved that it was not a scientific method to solve the economic and, you know, the problems of this world. You know, no science can solve our problems. But I came out of it alive. So here I am in one piece. Okay, now, the third application of the truth. Satan united the two great enemies of Christ's day, the Jews and the Romans. They hated each other. Yet, at the cross, the Jews said, we have no other king but who? Caesar. The United Nations has failed to unite this world. But folks, the time is coming when Satan will unite this world against us. Look at what it says. He will unite the world against God's people in the great tribulation. Look at Revelation 13, verse 3 and 4. Listen to what happened. And what will happen. And I saw one of his heads, that is the beast's head, as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world, have you got it? All the world marveled and followed the beast, so that they worshipped the dragon, Satan, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast who is able to make war with him? Now the beast is only an agent. The real culprit is the dragon, folks. And he can unite the world. Now, number four. When the world under Satan has to make a choice between one of their own and an innocent Christian, they will always choose their own. In Acts 3, Pilate did not have any desire to have Christ crucified because he was not a slave or a runaway slave. He tried to rescue him. And one of the ways he did it is he brought the worst criminal from his court, Barabbas, and said, it is my custom to free one of these. Who would you like me to free? Barabbas, my worst criminal, a murderer, a multi-murderer, in fact, or Jesus Christ, in whom I find no fault. You know, the Jews did not ask him, can we have some time to have so we can have a committee meeting? Their response was instant. Give us Barabbas. Why? Because he's one of us. He belongs to the world. What should I do with Jesus? Crucify him. Now, folks, we need to be clear. It was not the Jews who demanded his crucifixion. It was sinful human nature, the same nature you and I have. You know, it's very interesting when, I'm trying to remember, Gibson or the one who produced that film. And Saul asked him at an interview, why did you put the nails in the one who was, you know, this was an act, of course. And you know what Gibson said? I and you were responsible for his death, and she didn't like it. What he meant is sinful nature, you know, is what is responsible. Here it is. At the cross, man's unconscious sin was revealed. The enmity that exists between our sinful flesh or sinful nature and God. I want you to look at the two texts. Jeremiah 17. And please notice what it says here. This is Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is the heart controlled by the flesh. But now turn to the next day. Romans chapter 8 verse 7. Romans chapter 8. And listen to what Paul pens here. We spent a whole year covering this book. Chapter 8 verse 7. So this is just a reminder. Because the carnal mind. Now the word carnal is fleshly. The Greek word is fleshly. That is the mind controlled by our sinful nature. Is enmity against God. Have you got it? We have a nature that is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So we have a nature that is anti-God. And folks, our nature doesn't change after conversion. What changes is our mind. The word repentance simply means a change of mind. Our nature is as sinful as it was before conversion. It will not change until the second coming of Christ when this corruption puts on incorruption. So please have no confidence in the flesh. And that's what Paul says in Philippians 3 verse 3. Have no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in Jesus Christ. Okay, now. May we always be on the Lord's side. because Satan has been exposed. He may come to you as an angel of light. He may come with his deceptions. But folks, remember, he is a liar, the father of lies, but above all, he is the murderer of our Savior. So please don't put any trust in him, no matter how he comes. Now, he doesn't come to him directly. He will come to you through human agents. He will come to you through people from the own church, from Christians. So be on your guard. Let the Bible be the measuring stick of truth. And let Satan's lies never be accepted, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you that you removed your protection from Jesus, your Son, not because you were angry with him or for any other reason, but to do two things, to expose Satan, who hates you, who is the murderer from the beginning, so that the whole universe may realize who he is, and also that Jesus was willing to go to the cross to be our Savior. Lord, I ask us to keep our eyes open, to keep our eyes open that we may look at Jesus all the time as the hope of our salvation, so that one day when we face the lies of Satan, we will know that he is a liar and a deceiver, and that we will always trust in Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy of seeing us in heaven, endured the cross, despising the shame. Bless us to this end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy your potluck.